hearing. Well, he and his wife had a baby yesterday, and they are at the hospital. So Ann Ryder is going to be the person I interview from Tent City this morning. So welcome to Ann as well. If you are a visitor with us from any of those places or just that you showed up today for the first time, our welcome wagon is out there. It's got hot drink mugs on it with an MIPC website on it. Take one of those as a gift when you leave today, if you're a visitor for the first time, and it'll hopefully be our reminder to you that we loved having you in worship this morning and that you received a warm welcome and kind of the invitation to come back again. And we're also inviting everyone to stay for the appetizer potluck that will happen in the courtyard as soon as the worship service is ended. So please plan to stay on and have fellowship and join the potluck with us. There are three announcements that I just want to point out to you this morning. They're all, well, two of them at least are on the blue insert right on the front. The first one is the Homecoming Sunday, which is next Sunday. We're back to our regular worship schedule, the three different services. And in between the services at 9:15, there will be a lot of information about the various ministries of the church available in the courtyard. And the Rock and the Ark ministries, elementary school and middle and high school, will be putting on a carnival for youth and children at that 9:15 hour while adults are browsing the information tables in the courtyard. And then at the 5 o'clock service, or after the 5 o'clock service, that same information tables will be available on the front patio, weather permitting, next Sunday. So regular worship times next week. Our regular education hour resumes the following week. And for adults, all the new classes are listed inside the blue worship or the blue announcement page. And then my last announcement is just take note, if you are parents of elementary school age children, of the Logos orientation and registration meetings coming up in a few weeks. Logos is our midweek children's program, and those parent meetings are mandatory if you want to enroll your child in Logos. Please do look inside the worship bulletin and the blue announcement page. Now that fall school year is ramping up next week, so are the programs of the church, and many, many things are going on that you might want to participate in or that we might want your help with. So please do pay attention to the printed bulletin after worship is ended today. Again, it's great to have you with us, and welcome to everyone. Hunter Bauman is going to come and light our Christ candle to signal that our worship service is beginning. And let's take a few moments of quiet as he does that to prepare to worship God.
Please join with me in our responsive call to worship printed in your bulletins. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come to cheer us in our sorrow. Come to persuade us in our doubtings. Come to urge us forward in following Christ. Our strength, O God, as we wait upon you. Fill us with abounding hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. God of all creation, help us to recognize your presence among us in this time of worship. You are holy, and in your holy presence we gather as adults and children who are hungry for the peace and hope that only you can give. If there is anything we bring with us today that might stand in our way of being able to worship you, we offer it to you now. Our fears, our anger, our sin, our worry. Gracious God, touch us with your healing grace. Speak to us and open your word to us in this hour, that we may live our lives as peacemakers and hope bearers. Amen. Friends, since God has made peace with us through our Lord Jesus Christ, let us now share the peace of Christ joyfully with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Greet one another with Christ's peace.
We hope that you'll continue to share the peace and just visit with one another after worship. And now I'd like to invite Alexa and Hunter Bauman forward to read our Psalter reading.
Our Psalter reading this morning is Psalm 138, which can be found on page 577 in the Bibles in the pews. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Whenever we have our One Service Sundays, it's wonderful for us to be able to look out and see members of all three of our congregations all worshiping together, and it's a time when you have opportunity to kind of catch up with maybe some friends that you don't always see every Sunday, so it's a great joy for us to be able to lift up our joys and concerns together as kind of three congregations in one today as well. I invite you to sign and pass the red friendship registers that you will have found on the ends of the pews as you entered in. And then as you pass those down, when it gets to the end of the pew, why don't you pass it on back the other way and take a peek and see who's sitting down the pew from you, and you might have an opportunity to greet each other by name after the service. And then during this time of sharing, if you have prayer requests on your heart that you would prefer not to speak out, then we invite you to take one of the congregational care cards that you will find in the pews, and you can write out that prayer request and place it in the offering plate as it goes by later on in the service. If you would like to mark confidential on that request, that would mean that it doesn't show up on our prayer list that is enclosed in our bulletin each week. But as a staff, we're privileged to be able to lift up all of your prayer requests. Those confidential ones will stay only within our Tuesday morning staff prayer time. But then we have the joy of lifting up all the other prayer requests during that time as well. Before we begin our time of sharing, let's bow our hearts together in prayer. God, we thank you for this opportunity to gather as one big church family today, and we just thank you for all the many ways that you've blessed us as a church and as individuals. And as we share our joys and our sorrows this day, we thank you for really the honor of being able to carry the burdens and to celebrate with the joys of our sisters and brothers in Christ. We lift up this time of sharing and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, Christina Hall and Alexa Bauman are going to come out to you with microphones. And because this is our combined service, we like to share a little bit from each service so that we can have a flavor of each service. In our joys and concerns at our breakfast service, we always begin our time of sharing joys with birthday joys. So are there any folks out there who celebrated a birthday or maybe are going to have one in the week to come you'd like to share?
Well, I'm Hallie Doddrell, and tomorrow my husband, Carl, turns 65 and joins me in that same year.
Well, happy birthday. We give thanks to God. That's a big one, 65. Carl, happy birthday.
Christina Hall turned 11 yesterday.
Oh, Christina, 11. We thank God for your birth.
John Kaufman, and it was my wife Kirby's birthday on Wednesday. And then I'll share another joy that my brother Mark had and his wife Deja had twin baby boys this past week on Thursday, Cody and Luke Kaufman. And they were born premature, and so they're in the ICU, and they're stable for the moment, but prayers for Cody and Luke and Mark and Deja.
Prayers for Cody and Luke, and as they just stabilize, that they'll continue to just thrive. And what an incredible birthday to celebrate. And also, Kirby, for yours to come.
Paul Barrett celebrated his birthday on the 29th. And he is, I'm not going to say.
Yay, Paul. Paul turned 40. He's not hiding that. Were you? Haley brought it up, Paul. I didn't. Okay. Other birthdays. Right there, Christina. There you go.
Our son, Peter Clark, will be turning 15 on Tuesday, the first day of school.
15, first day of school. Two big celebrations. We praise God for your birth, too. And one more, two more.
I'm Jenny Sewell, and Dale and I are going to actually miss next Sunday because my mother is turning 90. Her wish her whole life was to go to Bermuda. So my brother and his wife from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and my sister and her husband from Wisconsin, and Dale and I are taking my mother to Bermuda, and she fully expects to rent the motorbike and ride it. So.
She is just amazing. We just thank God for that wonderful family celebration and pray for traveling mercies and hurricane avoidance and all that good stuff while you're celebrating in Bermuda.
And I'm Rochelle Bassetti, and my husband Andy has a birthday on Thursday, September 4th, and I'm happy he was created, and I'm happy he catches up with me at this birthday.
Praise God. Happy birthday, Andy. Other joys. Oh, one more. Yeah, sorry.
Elizabeth Matar and my husband, Ron, turns 48 today.
Who did?
My husband, Ron.
Oh, Ron. All right.
And he's celebrating with my friend's husband, golfing. But it's a great joy that I also have my friend here visiting from Tri-Cities.
Happy birthday, Ron, and we're just and have a wonderful celebration. Sounds like you already are. Here we go, Lex.
Hi, I'm Lexi Showalter, and my grandmother, Carol Kimberly, is in town for a couple of days.
That's a joy. Welcome. We're glad you're here in worship with us. Other joys to share?
My name is Angela Miksovsky, and this is Anya, and it's our joy to welcome my parents to worship with us today, Emun and Kenneth Chen.
Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Such a joy to have our family and friends come to us, especially and to come to church with us. It's a great joy. Other joys to share this morning? Let's transition to a time of requests, prayer concerns that may be on your hearts. Anything you'd like us to be praying for?
Carl Dodrell and, I think most of us are aware that we have an approaching hurricane approaching New Orleans. The hurricane is, I think, of approximately the same intensity as was Katrina, but it's coming in on the wrong side of the city, which could be a bad omen. The mayor has evacuated or is requiring the evacuation of the entire city, which was not done before. I have sent an email to our friends at Blessed Seville's Catholic Church, and I have assured them that we're going to be praying for them. And so I hope that you will join with me and offer a prayer for these poor people down there, our friends.
Yeah, I think the whole nation's heart is kind of linked to that city now after Katrina, but our hearts as a congregation has a special link to that city as well, and we know many people there. So we just ask for God's mercies upon New Orleans and all the residents. And then there was another, yes. Oh, that was yours. All right, thank you. Bill.
I'm Bill Redman. We'd like prayers for Jane Taylor, a friend who is undergoing surgery for ovarian cancer this coming Thursday.
We lift up Jane and ask for God's healing mercies for her.
Elizabeth again. It was to our sorrow that we last lost our 93-year-old grandmother 3 weeks ago, and I just asked for prayers for her family that loved her and who miss her.
We thank God for her life and for all the ways she touched your lives, and we just lift you up in prayer as you mourn her loss. Why don't you go ahead over here? Yeah, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Sue King, and I'd like to ask prayers for my sister, Lynn Eastman.
For Lynn?
She was diagnosed this week with a condition called pseudotumor cerebri, which is water on the brain, and or fluid on the brain. And it's a really dangerous condition, and it could cause her to go blind and also threaten her life. So prayers that they figure out how to treat it and that she gets better.
Yeah, we lift Lynn up and ask for God's healing hand upon her and just prayers for wisdom for all those who are treating her in this scary time. And there's one more in the, Jan.
I'm Jan McKenna, and last Sunday I asked for prayer for Maggie, whose death is imminent. But I asked that she might accept Christ. I talked to my daughter-in-law yesterday, day before yesterday, and she'd been with her mother, and her brother had been there for 2 weeks from Chicago area, and for the first time, Maggie prayed, and he read the Bible and prayed with her. So it looks like all of your prayers and mine are being answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. And we just pray that the love of Christ will continue to shine through all the family that's gathering around her now at this time. Anyone else? I would like to then invite Rita Lou to come forward to lead us in our community prayer.
Let us pray together. Holy One, we thank you. Everything in us says thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness. When we call out to you, you come to us and infuse us with strength and courage. When we walk into the thick of trouble, you keep us alive in the angry turmoil. Creator God, the crow never plows the fields on a tractor. The sparrow never sows or harvests grain. Yet each day, these creatures feed at a table spread with abundance and set with love. The rose does not weave cloth. The rhododendron does not mend its garments. Yet they are clothed in splendor and splashed with perfume besides. Gracious God, if you care so much that you feed the birds and clothe the flowers, whose beauty is so fleeting, how much more do you feed our hunger and fit us for life? Teach us to trust your provision for our daily needs and deepen our hunger for your sustaining love. Faithful God, release us from the fears that constrain us and deny us the delight in your festive spirit. Help us to live with the joy in the blessing of each day that you give us. As we find ourselves renewed by your living spirit, then send us out to help the careworn find the peace of your presence. May we faithfully follow in the steps of our brother Jesus, who taught us how to live and share life and hospitality with others. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite all the children to come down here to the front, and Missy Eliana is going to have a time with you.
Good morning. I'm glad to see some big kids here too. All right. I am so excited because guess what happens on Tuesday? School. Are you guys jazzed? I hear grumbling. Well, I'm one of those really nerdy people who love school. So I get very excited and I've already started packing my backpack, but I've got a problem. I pack my backpack and it weighs a ton, and I haven't even put in my school supplies yet. So I thought maybe you guys could help me. You guys want to take a look at what I packed? Okay, so, all right, so I'm going to school. I actually do go to school, but one thing I can't stand is showing up, and believe it or not, I don't like to wear wrinkled clothes, so I'm bringing an iron just in case my clothes get wrinkled. I can take a break, go to the ladies' room, iron up. No. Here we go, let's see what else. Oh yeah, okay. So I can't stand weeds. And if I should pass by somewhere and I see dandelions growing, I wanna be ready so I can pull them out. So I've got my weed puller thing. Okay, have you guys ever come out somewhere and run into a stray dog, a dog that you don't know? Scary. I want to be ready. I've got a can of dog food, just in case I run into a dog. And you know, I don't know about your school, but sometimes schools have a problem. I want to be ready. I think you'll agree with me that this is pretty silly stuff to lug around in a backpack. But you know what? We actually do this all the time in our lives. We carry around all this extra stuff that we worry about that hasn't even happened. But you know why? Because we're missing one really important thing. We forget to carry with us the love of God. The bad thing about this is, guess what carrying this backpack does? All this backpack does is, exactly, it hurts my back. It is painful. And that's the same way it is in our lives when we carry around all these worries about what could happen, what might happen. I'll tell you, I've told my friends here at church, I'm a professional worrier. I know how to worry better than most anybody else. But it's not really fair to God, because it's God who gives us everything we need. And actually, this is not my real backpack. This is my real backpack. And all I really have in here is a book and a notebook, and I can carry this. But I also have something to remind me that I have God with me all the time. We're going to do something similar like that for you. So I'm going to invite Pastor Sherry to come forward, and we're going to do something special for all students.
This is what I hope will be the beginning of an annual tradition in our church, a way to send our students of all ages out to the new school year with a blessing, with God's blessing. And there's no better way to head into the school year. So I'm going to invite all of you children and all other students of all ages. Eliana's going to lead you kind of down the center aisle. I want every student here to gather down the center aisle. Okay, so you have to stand up. I'm talking preschool, grade school, middle school, high school, college, post-grad. Look at all these students. Okay, find a place in the aisle. This is pretty exciting stuff, isn't it? I believe this is one of the ways that we can fulfill the congregational vow we made. Whenever we see a witness of baptism, the congregation makes a vow to nurture the children of our church in their faith and to pray for them. So this is one of the ways that we can do just that. Now, is everybody in the center? Now I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. And I want everyone to face these children. In fact, the folks on the aisle, I'd like you to find a shoulder or an arm or a head to place your hand, and everyone kind of gather toward these students and place your hand on each other's shoulder, and so that we're going to have a kind of a blessing connection to all of these students. You guys up here too, come on down. And I have the privilege of being able to stand up here and observe this, because it's very moving to see the whole congregation connected in this prayer of blessing. So now let us bow our hearts together in prayer as we bless these students. Gracious and loving God, we are united in this circle of blessing as the body of Christ, called to build one another up in love. May each person in the center of this circle now feel the love and support of this community. And may you give this congregation the wisdom and the means to continue to find ways to live out that high calling of our baptismal vows. At the beginning of this new school year, we pray your blessing upon these students, and we offer thanks and praise for the gift of new beginnings and for the opportunity to learn and to wonder. Help each of these students to discover and develop his or her God-given gifts and strengths, and to know how to use them for your purposes. Be with them as they face the challenge of new tasks, the fear of failure, the expectations of parents, teachers, friends, and self. In their learning and in their relationships, may they grow in service to others and in love and awe of your world. Through Jesus Christ our Savior, we ask it. And the people would say,
amen.
Amen. That was wonderful. Now, as our students are returning to their seats and our children aged 4 years through second grade go out into the narthex to head off to the worship center, Alexa Bauman is going to lead all of us in a sung blessing. So let's sing these children out with a blessing song.
It is our joy to have friends from Tent City with us today, including Bruce preaching to us in just a few moments. I've had the privilege of going up to Tent City 6 or 8 or 10 times since they arrived and have gotten to know the community there, and they are a real blessing to know. I want to thank Ann especially for stepping in at the last minute to be interviewed when Joshua Bogart and his wife instead went and had their baby yesterday instead of putting that off so they could be here today. So, Anne, thank you, first of all, for being willing to step in at the last minute.
You're welcome.
So, Anne saw these questions that I'm going to ask her for the first time about a half hour ago. But, Anne, why don't we start out just by your Anne Ryder, and just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 49 years old. I have two children. The 18-year-old, my boy, he lives with his dad in Queen Anne, and a daughter who's out on her own working for a law firm. I'm homeless, somewhat. I consider Tent City to be my home. The fact that I live in a tent is just a different dwelling for me. I'm very grateful to be there and for them having been there for me when I needed them the most. Mm.
Would you mind telling us how you became homeless?
Sure. I had a really good job about a year ago, from which one I was laid off of. And that was a struggle. I didn't have very many reserves. And luckily, I got another job about a month later. However, I was laid off from that one. And having been drained financially through the first layoff, the second one I could not bounce back from. And I was evicted from my apartment and found myself down on the corner of 3rd Avenue in Lenora, outside of a woman's shelter, Angeline's. And from there, I guess I walked a little bit too much, and I ended up with a stress fracture in my ankle. So it was one thing after another in a very short space of time. Finally, I came up upon Tent City, and that was about December of last year.
So how would you say, you were homeless on the streets for a while before you found Tent City, is
that
right?
That's right.
How does Tent City help?
Well, it provides me with a place that I know I can go back to at night. It provides me with consistency. I know I can go there. I know I can get a good meal there. I know I have a place that I can keep my bags. And again, the stability, the consistency in it helps me be able to plan my days accordingly. If I don't have to worry about where I'm going to spend the night, then I can worry about other things like working, getting a job, doing the things that I have to do. So it takes some of the stress, the regular stresses that one would expect homeless have to deal with. Takes that and it makes it easier.
I suppose you're aware that Tent City is kind of controversial, that there are some people who don't like Tent City.
I am, and that's disappointing. I think that's because they don't know us. I think that as soon as you get to know anyone in any circumstance, that you become more understanding of their circumstances also. And once you get to know them, you become less afraid of them. I think those that that don't know us, are maybe afraid of us. If they became to know us, then they wouldn't be afraid. And I think that a lot of it has to do with fear, their fear of us, not knowing us. We have a certain stigma, and that disappoints me.
I know just from being up there that anybody is welcome to drop by and meet people there and get to know them a little better, which should...
Oh, I encourage you all to come by anytime. We're open 24/7. Have a cup of coffee, share a cup of coffee, sit down, speak with us, do a little tour. Most anybody would be happy to welcome you and show you around the camp.
But you have to be quiet after 9 p.m.
After 9 o'clock, you have to whisper.
Now, I just met you this morning, but I had some hint that you are a person of faith.
I am.
So would you say a little bit about your faith?
Yes.
Who you are as a person of faith?
I was raised Anglican. My grandmother saw to it I was raised a very proper Anglican. And I guess I never really understood what it was, you know, until I got older in my life. And I wouldn't wish homelessness on anyone. It's not a fun experience, but it's an experience which has changed my life. And I'm not happy for the experience. I'm grateful for the experience because it's allowed me to see humanity in a different light, and one I would never have been able to see had I not had to endure this homeless experience. I believe that there was a reason why I'm on the journey that I am. And if nothing else, whereas I've never questioned my faith, this experience has strengthened my faith in ways I never thought possible. I'm very somewhat grateful for.
Well then, as a Christian, why do you think the people sitting here should support Tent City?
I think it would give you a wonderful feeling in doing so, that you've done the work of God, and that I think the good feeling that comes from it, if nothing else, would be worth it.
And this is my last question. What do you think who are not homeless, can learn from the Tent City community?
Well, to come to get to know us, and to learn that we're pretty much like a lot of other people. We have had our challenges. We have challenges that may be different than your challenges, but we're all God's children. Mm-hmm. And just getting to know us, that would be reaffirmed.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you, Anne. It's a delight to get to know you a little bit this morning.
It's
thank
lovely
you for
to be here.
Stepping in at the last minute and taking the risk in front of all these strangers
You're
to
welcome.
Share something of your life with us.
So
let's thank Anne for her sharing. Now, one of the people I've gotten to know the best since we started talking about Tent City coming here and since Tent City has moved here is Bruce Thomas. And Bruce was one of the founders of Tent City 4, the East Side Tent City, I think 5 years ago now or something like that, Bruce. And until just recently was the elected resident advisor of Tent City. I've also come to know him as a man of faith and humor and patience. In fact, the community of Tent City has amazed me with their patience. You remember the water balloon incident where some of our own Mercer Islanders water ballooned Tent City right after they arrived here in the middle of the night? Well, our police department was referring to that as malicious mischief. And I went up to Tent City the next day, and Bruce and in particular, and others were saying, look, we've had teenagers, you know, it's no big deal, you know, we're not worried about it. So I find Bruce to be a man of an ability to articulate a deep commitment. I know he sees his residency at Tent City as a ministry that he is doing, and I'm just glad to have Bruce Thomas known to you today and to have him come and preach to us. Would you come up, Bruce, and I want to say a prayer for you as it's our tradition to do in the 5 o'clock service before you preach. So. We are so grateful, Lord, for Bruce Thomas, for how you've called him and how you've used him to show your love in very practical ways. We ask now that you would bless him as he shares with us and preaches to us today, and that you would bless his community during their time in our neighborhood and throughout their existence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's welcome Bruce.
Thank you. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Listen for God's word to the church. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, ye of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. We give thanks for the reading and hearing of God's holy word. When I was asked to preach on the gospel, frankly, I had a little problem with it. I said, goodness sakes, he's telling me not to worry about this sort of stuff. Well, folks, I live in a tent. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. There have been times in my recent past when I have been hungry. Jesus tells me, don't worry about that. There have been times in my recent past when I was not clothed for the weather. Jesus says, don't worry about that. So I had to think, what does he mean by this scripture? Why am I not to worry about clothing and food and shelter? Because, he says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you do this, all things will be given to you. Sounds real simple. I'm a simple kind of guy. It's not very simple. How do we, as Christians, strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How do we do that? Now, we have a real nice book called the Bible, full of all kinds of instructions, but nowhere in there does it say, here's how you do it. We all know that we don't get into heaven by things that we do. We are accepted into heaven by our belief in Jesus Christ. That having been said, what are we supposed to do with all this time that we're given? Well, if you will look at the very last verse in the last chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, Christ commands that we go and we teach all nations. We are to spread his gospel. I see the faces now. What do you think I am? Martin Luther King? John F. Kennedy? Franklin Roosevelt? No, I don't. I am reminded of what St. Francis of Assisi said. And to me, it's the answer on how each of us, pardon me, each of us as Christians can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as Christ commands us to do. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ every day, and sometimes use words." Think about that. Preach the gospel of Jesus every day, and sometimes use words. Tent City 4 is an opportunity for us as Christians to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ every day and sometimes use words. Anne has invited you on behalf of the camp to come visit us. I second that. Please come visit us. Tent City 4 is a mixture of Christians, Islam, agnostics, and people that swear to God they don't believe in God. Tent City 4 is not a religious organization. We are open to anybody and everybody who is in need. To stay at Tent City 4, you simply have to have a need. You have no safe place to go. In King County, tonight, there will be over 6,000 of God's children with no safe place to sleep. When every shelter bed in this county is full, 6,000 human beings that God loves will attempt to find shelter under freeway bridges, in parks, behind dumpsters, in dumpsters if it's raining. So far this year, 26 homeless people have lost their lives because they have no safe place to go, and that's just in King County. This is wrong. This is a very affluent county in the most affluent country in the world, and there is no need for this to happen. What do we, as God's church, do about that? When Christ's ministry on this earth was at an end, he gathered his disciples together in Galilee. And what did he say to them? Did he say, "Well, I've taught you, now go home and think about it"? Did he say, "I've taught you, go home and write it, pray on it"? No. Christ said, "Go, do." The Christian church has a tendency to pray a lot, which is a good thing, to be very caring, which is a good thing, and to sit on our duffs, and that is not a good thing. It's time for all of us as Christians to stand up and begin to do. I invite you to visit Tent City 4. Perhaps some of you may find that this is the place where you can begin as Christians to do things. There are opportunities there. God knows there are great needs there. Thank you. I'm here to make friends. I was given 20 minutes, and I'm not going to use all of them.
Thank you, Bruce. Friends, we're thankful for all the ways that we have been surprised by God's faithful and loving care. So now let us bring our offerings to God with grateful hearts. The ushers will now come forward to receive our morning offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Living God, we offer these gifts and our lives to be blessed by you. May they be used to proclaim your love for all people, and may we go out to share that love with all people. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join in the closing hymn for Oh For a World, number 386.
We do thank you for worshiping with us this morning and ask that you would continue to pray for all the students that we have blessed and all the students going back to school, wherever they're going, beginning next week. Thanks to our special guests, to Bruce and Ann, for sharing with us this morning. And please do stay for the potluck, appetizer potluck in the courtyard, which you get to just by going down this hallway, and it's there on the left. God, who cares for us, knows the things we need. So seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Go from this place to preach the good news every day, and when necessary, use words. Go out into the world in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.